Finally, after a lot of drama in Parliament, an expensive postal survey, and a long campaign, same-sex marriage is law in Australia. Today, Governor-General Sir Peter Cosgrove formally gave the bill royal assent, meaning ceremonies can take place from January the 9th. So now that Australia has legalised same-sex marriage, what's next for the LGBTIQ community and their advocacy groups? Eduardo Jordan investigates.
Yesterday, Australia became the 26th country in the world to recognise same-sex marriage. 2017 has been an intense year for marriage equality advocates and LGBTIQ groups in Australia. Director of Legal Advocacy at the Human Rights Law Centre, Anna Brown, was in Parliament when the bill passed.
Well, it was pretty electric. People have been waiting all day. It was amazing looking up and seeing the crowds in the seats. And even though they're not supposed to clap, everyone was clapping after the bill went through because it was such an amazing time. And actually all the members of Parliament were clapping and cheering and hugging and crying.
Co-convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby, Dale Park, says he hopes this week's historical event will see benefits for the LGBTIQ community.
I really do hope that marriage equality can bring about a much more embracive and welcoming community for LGBTIQ people. I think that by normalising our relationships and showing that they are as equal and as valid as any other relationship can only be a positive thing for society in general.
But now that marriage equality is a reality, where to go now? Mr. Park says the road is still long and they won't stop advocating for the community.
Some of the main issues will be around birth certificate reform for trans and gender diverse people, also religious exemptions in regards to faith-based schools and hospitals and other organisations who currently can discriminate against LGBTIQ people, both in employment and also from a school perspective in terms of our students, they can ask them to leave. So these are some of the key issues that we will definitely be taking forward.
Ms. Brown says transgender rights need to advance in Australia.
I definitely feel that we have a responsibility to work even harder to advance transgender rights in this country and to reclaim some of that ground and to forge ahead and make sure that trans people can live their lives free of discrimination and also be treated fairly in the law as well.
Deputy Director of the Caston Centre for Human Rights at Monash University, Professor Paula Gerber, says gay conversion therapy needs to be prohibited.
We also need to work on other issues like, for example, prohibiting conversion therapy, which is where organisations and professionals, in quotation marks, work on converting people from being gay to being heterosexual. And that is a practice that has long been discredited. It's now gone underground, but it still very much exists in Australia and we need to stamp that out.
Professor Gerber says Australia needs to step up as a leader in our region to protect human rights.
I'd like to see Australia play a greater role in advocating for the respect of human rights in Asia-Pacific countries. The countries right on our doorstep, there are 19 of them where it's still a crime to be gay, where you can go to jail for engaging in consensual same-sex sexual conduct. So we need to work with LGBTI activists in these countries like Malaysia, Singapore, Sri Lanka, Tonga, Solomon Islands, Samoa. We need to work with them to get these odious laws repealed.
Also, the debate about inclusive sexuality education in schools will continue. Associate Professor of Public Health at the University of Technology, Sydney, Melissa Kang, says sexuality education in schools is critical for young Australians.
I have always been a proponent of comprehensive sexuality education. It's something that is ratified by organisations like the World Health Organisation, UNESCO. Many, many organisations globally believe that comprehensive sexuality education is what young people not only need, but they actually have the right to have access to. So what I'm suggesting is nothing more than that, but that we also consider the needs of young people who are sexuality diverse, gender diverse, or who have an intersex condition. And what I'm suggesting is that partly because we're now thinking about diversity in our population and regarding them as equals, that it's a good opportunity, I think, to refresh or revisit what we mean by comprehensive sexuality education and making sure that we are inclusive.
And Australia should take a different perspective about it.
In Australia, we still very much believe that parents have a place to have a say in what their children learn at school when it comes to sexuality education. Now, you can go to some other countries, particularly some of the Scandinavian countries, where, in fact, the philosophy there is that children and adolescents have the right to know information regardless of what the parents might say they want.
Professor Gerber says the community is getting stronger and she hopes the momentum continues.
I think so. I think it's been quite a, I think for the LGBTI community, a unifying process that we've gone through, and we've also built a lot of momentum. And so I'd like to see that momentum continue and to work on these other outstanding issues that that need to be fixed.
Was Professor Paula Gerber ending that story by Eduardo Jordan.